Well, we are glad to have all of you here today on this, the Lord's Day, this last Sunday in November. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to begin our service in prayer, and then we'll ask you to stay standing as you grab a hymn book, and Shane's going to come for our opening hymn. After the hymn, you will hear from the choir. We pray that the music prepares our hearts to receive the Word of God here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we've come this morning, I pray, to worship You. Lord, I pray we've come to worship You according to the Bible, not our own feelings or what we think is worship. Lord, I pray we've come this morning hunger and thirsting after Your Word, the Word of God. Lord, I thank You that we can fellowship. Yes, Lord, we can sing praises to You. And Lord, we can hear the Word of God, but Lord, unless we apply and live the Word of God, it will be to no value. Lord, I thank You for each one that's here, several of our visitors, family members, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity we had to celebrate Thanksgiving and give You praise, Lord, for this country, for Your bountiful blessings, Lord, to this country, our homes, our families, and we are so grateful, Lord. We do not deserve Your goodness and mercy and Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, that You are a good God, a gracious God. And we pray today, Lord, You would be glorified by all that's done from the opening lines of our hymn to the very Lord, final amen. May You be glorified in all that's done. We ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as Shane comes.
All right, take the hymn book and turn to hymn number 130. We're going to sing The Love of God. Hymn number 130.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win His erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
When years of time
shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to add
the saints and angels song. The love of God, how rich and poor, how measureless and strong. It shall
this time, the choir is going to sing Saved by the Blood.
Save my
choir. And now, if you will, stand with me. We sing 430 in our hymn book, Lord, I Need You. Hymn number 430. We'll stand together as the choir comes down to join you. Hymn number 430.
The men to come at this time, and they're going to be receiving the offering. There'll be an offertory of special music during that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray now during this offering. Thank you for your gifts, Lord. Thank you for those that give. Thank you for providing all of our needs here, Lord, as this ministry. Thank you for our missionaries around the world that are serving you, that we can help support the gospel being spread throughout the world. Lord, take this offering, use it for your honor and glory, multiply it in many ways for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Katie and Kelly. wonderful Thanksgiving hymn to always remember. Just before we sing once again, just a couple things by way of announcements for music. Choir practice will be at 4:15. A choir I'll do like I did last week. I'm just going to start right at 4:15. Try to be there a little before 4:15. That way you'll be in the pew by 4:15 and we can begin. Only because we only have this practice, one other practice. We got three practices, including tonight, before the cantata, so we don't have much. So for the choir, thank you very much for that. And then the other thing is going to be teens tonight. Practice will be here. Make sure you're here by 5:30 tonight. All right, so 5:30 for the teens. And remember, the guys are wearing a jacket and tie. I will have the extra ties that were requested that you guys know about. All right, let's be a surprise for everybody else. All right. And then, ladies, remember all the teen girls, dress or skirt to the knees, just for the special music for tonight. All right, thank you so much. Let's take now our hymn books, and we're going to turn to 478, and we'll remain seated as we sing "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a
second verse only. Ladies on the second verse. Men will join in on the chorus. Ladies. We're going to sing it all together, but on the chorus, the instruments will drop out. All right, so everyone on the last stanza now.
And Lord, haste the day when my face.
Oh. good singing. Just before the message, we do have some special music this morning.
So glad to have you here today. I trust that all that's been done in the 30 minutes of this morning's morning service has prepared your heart to receive the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I believe that's a biblical church, and I hope that we never get away from that. Take your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible right in front of you in the pew. I don't even have to tell you the page number. Genesis chapter 1. It's probably not page 1, is it? Let me just make sure. It is, page 1. There you go. It doesn't get any easier than that. If you don't have a Bible, it's right there. Open it, page number 1, the book of Genesis. Now, I'm here to tell you this today. If you come today and you are not prepared to open your Bible and turn and read, you are going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable today. I'm just telling you right now. If you're one that just comes and sits, you're not... It's going to be miserable. We are going to be in the Word of God today. We are probably going to, 50% of the message is going to be reading the Bible. I'm going to be reading the Bible. I'm letting the Word of God speak. Trying to put into practice what we're studying in adult Sunday school class. Search the Scriptures. The Scriptures are sufficient. Yes, I'll read. I'll make some comments. But we're going to be using. We're going to be in the Word of God today. And this is still part of the series that I'm wrapping up, Life, Death, and Eternity. And sort of bringing it to conclusion here this week, perhaps next week. I thought it was fitting we sang, "It is well with my soul." Yeah, if you looked at the two men there that had the lyrics and the music, right? Horatio Spafford went through great tragedy in the Chicago fire. His son, his daughters perished at sea in a tragic accident. P.P. Bliss and his wife perished on a train wreck in the fire. All right, and yeah, those two men It is well with my soul. I hope today it is well with your soul. If not, God's Word has the answer. You're in the right place. I don't have the answer, but God's Word does. Genesis chapter number 1, my message this morning, if you're taking notes, and I would encourage you, and that's why we have pew Bibles. Everybody get the Bible. Why? So you don't leave here today saying, well, all right, I heard the message. That's just that guy's opinion, you know. I've been to a lot of services, heard a lot of preachers. I don't want to be one that just, we open the Bible, read one verse, and then the whole rest of the message is me just talking and saying stuff. And that's all it is. Maybe that's some people, that's why I don't bring a Bible anymore. All right? You know, you look at one verse, close it, and just sit there. All right? No, I want the Word of God to speak. I want it to be God's Word, not so much mine, but God's Word. If you have an issue with a message, good. Let it be with God, not so much me. And get me out of the way and let the Word of God speak. So we'll be in Genesis, and then we'll be primarily the rest of the time in the New Testament. Shouldn't be hard to find. I'll encourage you to follow along with me. Why? Because I believe the Word of God is powerful, it's sufficient, it's living, it's breathing. It will not return void. And as the seed of the Word of God is even being read and preached, it's out there. And the Holy Spirit will take it and apply it to each individual heart and mind as needed. You have to respond to it. But the Holy Spirit will take His Word, and it will not return void or worthless today. So I hope you've come today with a ready heart and a ready mind to receive the Word of God. My message title is God's Plan for the Redemption of Mankind. God's Plan for the Redemption of Mankind. We've been looking at life, but a vapor. We get, I don't even like to use this phrase, we get one chance at life, that's it. You're here today, it's God's great gift to you. You're living, you're breathing. It could end at any moment. Death can come at any time, and eternity begins. We don't want to waste and squander our opportunity at life. However, there is eternal life. There's eternal death. And we've been looking at that for some time now. We've looked at hell. We've looked at judgments. We've looked at the rapture. We've looked at God's picture. We've looked at death. We've looked at a lot of different things. Today, I'd like us to look at God's plan for the redemption of mankind. About a year ago, I preached a message on the five big questions of life. I'm not going to preach on those again today, but I want to start off today before we start reading. The five big questions that everybody has, whether you verbalize these or not, is this. Who am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? What is my purpose? And where am I going? Those are the five questions that really, all right, I'm here. How'd I get here? What's the point of life? Am I just here accidentally? Have I evolved? Did God create me? What's the point? I mean, if we're here, we live, we die. Is that it? Well, why am I here? How'd I get here? Where am I going? Is it all over when I die? Is this it? And, you know, those questions that the world tries to answer, God's Word has that answer. Those answers can be found in the Word of God. We'll be looking at those indirectly through God's plan for the redemption of mankind. Let's do some reading. Let's see what the Word of God says. Genesis chapter 1. Let's read where it all begins. We'll read in sections. We'll not read straight through. I'll make some comments. But I want the Word of God to speak today. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the rest of that chapter continues with each day. Those are literal 24-hour days. God did not need 24 hours. God certainly doesn't need millions of years if you believe in an all-sufficient, omnipotent, all-present, and God. He isn't any of that. But He established a pattern for you and I. 24-hour days, first day. Let's pick it up in verse 24. We're now up to the sixth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now we come to the crowning jewel of all God's creation. verse 26. And God said, let us, that's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, notice, let them have dominion, authority over the fish of the seas and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. These are very foundational verses, especially this next verse. So God created, already answering some of the big five, man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Two genders, two gender roles. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Wow. Creation. Let's go to chapter number 2. Chapter 2, and God does this often in the Scriptures. Chapter 1 is the overview of creation. Can you imagine 31 verses that deal with creation? I said, that's it. Chapter 2, God will often go back and give more detail on certain parts of that. Chapter 2, he gives a little bit more detail on creation. We'll pick it up there in verse number 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, then when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So God's giving more information. But there went up a mist upon the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, this would be Adam, became a living soul. Wow, God shows us exactly how he did that. Verse 15. Let the scripture speak. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely, notice, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. We'll stop right there for now. Dr. Griffith preached on this just a few weeks back, did a great job. Well, not looking at every single thing. We're seeing creation. God created it. God spoke, and in his word was power. God made man, God made woman, two distinct genders, two distinct roles. At the end of chapter 2, he forms Eve. He creates what we would call the first marriage, first home, the establishment of the family, and it was good. And there is no sin in the world. Wow. No need for redemption. Man doesn't need to be redeemed. Everything's wonderful. Man will live forever. There is no death. Everything's wonderful. Chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, we know from comparing Scripture with Scripture, you wouldn't find out who the serpent is until you go to the New Testament. You really won't. Revelation and other things, you'll find out that that is Satan, that old serpent, it says in Revelation, the old serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, enters into the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, notice Satan doesn't change his methods. Question the word of God. Doubt the word of God. Calls you to not trust the word of God. Yea, hath God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, not only should I want you to doubt it, I'm going to deny it. Ye shall not surely die. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye, you and your husband, shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's the temptation. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And what happened? Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Notice they covered themselves up. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So we have sin, disobedience to God now. Fellowship is broken. Notice, they knew they had done wrong. They immediately tried to cover themselves up. Man-made method. They hid themselves. They were afraid. Does that not happen when we do wrong? Still today? We get scared. We get nervous. We try to cover it up. We blame other people. We hide. We feel guilty. And now the Lord comes, and the Lord knows all that happened. Let's pick it up in verse 14. So there's some shift, name blaming. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And now God is going to pronounce punishment. He begins with first the snake, the actual literally the reptile. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, he's speaking to Satan. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, not Eve necessarily, mankind, and between thy seed and her seed. It, very important verse here, most of you know this, but some of you do not. This is the first promise, the first glimpse of God's plan for redemption. It's very obscure, it's a little bit vague right here. It's just said in the garden, many people miss it. God is pronouncing judgment on the devil, and the devil's the battle between Satan and God, if you would. And he says that the seed of the woman, whoever this is, someone's going to be born of a woman. And it shall bruise thy head. You cut off the snake's head, he dies. And thou, Satan, shalt bruise his heel. Then he goes to the woman, verse 16. Unto the woman he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You tried to usurp his authority. That's going to be something. Now he goes to the man. Verse 17. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou, notice, here's death, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken or created, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. We'll read one final verse. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Let's stop right there for a second. Creation, marriage, the home, the family, sin, curse, and judgment. You're going to die. Created you out of the earth and the dust, you're going to go back there. Physical death is going to happen now because of sin, plus all these other judgments. But then verse 21 is very important. This is the first death in the Bible. The first thing that's ever been killed. It must have been horrific for Adam and Eve. God kills an animal. Now, it does not specifically say here what he killed. I believe we can see from Scripture here that it's very likely was a lamb or lambs, sheep. We see that pattern throughout Scripture. And what God shows us, there's a picture type of. Can you imagine? Now look, isn't it interesting as we look at this? Genesis, the name Genesis comes from the word gene, G-E-N-E. People that love science, your genes. As your beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. It's a book of beginnings. Of where did the world come from? Where's the universe? Animals, human life, family, institution, home. Everything's in the book of Genesis. Gender, roles, marriage, sin, death. God's plan is revealed here in the book of Genesis. Man sinned. Is it all over now? The devil wins. Everybody dies. It's all over. Adam and Eve die. No more. What's going to happen? Why am I here? How did I get here? What's the purpose? We see God's plan of redemption. In verse 21, God is setting up his picture and plan that's going to go through all the Bible. Some have called it the crimson line, the crimson thread, the scarlet cord that connects Genesis through Revelation. You'll see it through every book if you look. What is God's plan? Notice, man's plan was not enough. What man did was not sufficient. Make fig leaves, homemade clothes, that'll be enough to cover things up. And God said, not enough. No, what man did, notice what you did was man-made. It was your own works. And that's not sufficient. It's not going to do it. And so what happens here? We see that God kills innocent animals, probably lambs, who did no wrong, shed their blood and made coats of skins, literally to cover them completely. Wow. And he clothed them because they were not properly clothed. We see here some key principles that God is setting up in the very beginning that we can't miss. That's going to go all through Scripture. We'll look a little bit later in Romans where it says, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death from that sin, because all men have sinned, therefore all men die. Universal type and cause. Because of Adam's disobedient, we're all disobedient. Because of Adam's judgment, we're all judged. Why? Because Adam was the perfect man. He was the representative of the human race. And as Adam went, so went everybody. And so there's no way to reverse that unless God has a plan for redemption. And we saw that in verse 15, although it's very, very minute and vague. Some obscure prophecy that from mankind, from a woman, someone will come one day who will redeem mankind, reverse the curse, overcome death, the devil, and sin, and provide a way of salvation and deliverance. But we're not told much more than that. Yet God begins to unveil his plan in verse 21 when he kills. Most of us, if we had a little lamb and we saw it, we'd all be gone, oh, beautiful, look how precious. I could never think of killing that. Well, that precious lamb, it's a cute little lamb. It's so cute and adorable and white. It's not done anything wrong. There's no way we can actually kill that. That's awful. Exactly what God's showing us. What are the principles that we see from what we've read? God is holy and just. Sin must be punished. God cannot and will not overlook sin of any kind. Number two, sin separates us from God and sin brings death. Separation immediately right here in the garden. In fact, the end of the, God has to cast them out of the Garden of Eden. Number three principle we see, man's attempt to cover his sin is inadequate, always has been and always will be. And yet mankind constantly tries to cover up and get to God on their own. We're going to do man's thing. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do good works. I'm going to do good deeds. I'm going to be religious. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to put in the offering. I'm going to do all this stuff. And God says, inadequate. It's not enough. Whatever you do does not cover it. It's not sufficient. Can't be done. We see God setting that up right here. And the fourth thing is, here's the key. It's going to go all through the Bible. God must provide the covering for sin. There is no other way. God's going to provide the covering for the sin. And here, how does he do that? Innocent blood must be shed. Something innocent must be a substitute. And that innocent blood must be shed. There can be no other way. So we have here, I think, the beginning of what would be the animal sacrifices as a temporary covering until the Lamb of God comes. And that's going to be the unfolding of the Bible. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, some people may not know what the word remission means. Remission means cancellation of a debt. Sometimes we use it when it comes to cancer. Your cancer is in remission. But it means cancellation of a debt, a charge, or a penalty. God says without the shedding of blood, innocent blood, there can be no remission. It is impossible to reverse the curse of sin. All mankind is plunged into sin and only has one. Whoa! And so we see what God is doing here. The entire Old Testament, which we're not going to be in the Old Testament anymore, all 39 books point to the coming Redeemer. Every book of the Old Testament has one main theme. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Old Testament points forward. He is coming. Who's he? The Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior, the only one who can satisfy it. He's coming. You need to be looking for him. Everything there is a picture of God's unveiling of his great plan for the redemption of mankind. Who's coming? That one who is the deliverer. The one that's going to be... But notice, Satan was in the garden. He heard what the devil... He heard what God said. So someday, whether it was Eve, Satan didn't know, someone's going to be born of a woman. By the way, everybody here has been born of a woman. Every single person has been born of a woman. That's a pretty big net. Someone's going to be born of a woman who will crush me, Satan hears. Crush me, defeat me, absolutely annihilate me. So therefore, I've got to keep, I'll kill mankind. And hopefully you can see the ongoing battle throughout all of Scripture between God and the devil. God and the devil. Get rid of mankind. Plunge the entire world into sin and wickedness. Boy, think about the flood. There was only one righteous man, Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see the ongoing battle through Scripture. And then God begins to expand His prophecy, right? Whoa, He begins to expand it. If you're a student of the Scriptures and you're a searcher of the Scriptures, He opens it up a little more and says in Isaiah 7:14, not just any woman, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's impossible. Exactly. A miraculous birth. Because the sin nature is passed through the man's genes. The sin comes from Adam. A wife born of a virgin would mean he would be sinless. That's impossible. Right, the miraculous birth. Born of a virgin, someone who will come one day. The only one. The only one that can redeem mankind. The only one who can pay the price. The only one who can defeat death and hell. The only one who can overcome Satan. The only one who can provide true deliverance and salvation for all mankind. He's coming. He's coming. You better be looking. And then throughout the Old Testament, which many people do not read, God says He'll come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He'll be Jewish. Most persecuted people group in all the world, the Jews. You don't think Satan heard that? The Jews, God's people. Ah, this one will come from a woman. He'll be Jewish. Later, He'll come from the tribe of Judah. That narrows it down. There were 12 tribes. Now it's one tribe. The tribe of Judah, who happens to have on its emblem a lion. The Lion of Judah. Now this supposed one who's coming, born of a woman, of a virgin, will be Jewish from the tribe of Judah, but then the Lord expands it even more. It'll be the royal blood of King David. He'll be kingly seed. Royalty. Later on, He'll be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Later on, He'll even be born in that village, Bethlehem. The coming Messiah, the Redeemer, born of a virgin, will be born in that little city of David, Bethlehem, El House of Bread. That's going to be the one. He'll be a Nazarene. How could He be born in Bethlehem and be a Nazarene unless He grows up in Nazareth? Isaiah 53, and this is where many people missed it. He will come, though, the first time, not as king. He will not come as the lion the first time. He will come as the lamb. He will come as the lamb. The Lamb of God. He will be average. You will not notice Him. He will come as a suffering servant. He will not usher in His kingdom and overthrow the Romans. And He will come as the Lamb to first redeem mankind. And He comes the second time. He'll come as the Lion, as the King of Kings. And we see the Scripture unfolding. Go with me now to the first book of the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I can think I can help you here if you have a pew Bible. It's a little trickier than one. If you have a pew Bible, you're going to go toward the back. You may beat me to it, and if so, that's good. You're going to go to page 1341. 1341, Matthew chapter 1. See, Pastor Moore, this is great. What are you getting at? Life, death, and eternity. Why am I here? What am I here for? What's my purpose? How did I get here? Is this all there is in life? And what happens afterwards? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see God's plan for the redemption of mankind. Redemption means to purchase, to buy back, to purchase one's freedom or salvation. Sin has caused us to be slaves to sin. We have no hope. Man cannot do it. You can't cover up yourself. So God unfolds His plan, and now we come to Matthew chapter 1. I hope familiar verses. Let's begin reading at verse 18. This is 4,000 years after God spoke in the garden. 4,000 years. Nothing except prophecies. All of a sudden, Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, virgin, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This gives us the secret. This person that was born of a woman is not just any person. It's God. The God-man. God came down to be with us. Emmanuel. God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not physically till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We're entering into Christmas time. Oh, even the world will sing about the Savior, though they don't, most don't know him. They'll sing the Christmas hymns, the Christmas carols that shout out the Messiah, the Redeemer, but they sing it because it's pleasant and it's tradition. May that not be you and I at Christmas time. May we not get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of the world's view of Christmas and gifts and toys and shopping that we leave out the Savior, the very one that we celebrate, Him coming to earth. Go to your right, John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. The entire Old Testament had one message. He is coming. Who? The Deliverer. The Savior, the Redeemer. Guess what the New Testament says? He is here. He is here. He's here. Now, you and I today, we have a message. He's coming again. He's coming again. Be ye therefore ready, for ye know not the hour. Are you getting the picture of what God is doing? Why are we here? What is our purpose? What's the point of life? Eat, drink, and be merry? To have toys? To just play every day? Or does God have something more for us that are His children than just play, play, play? Is there more to life? Is there a bigger picture? What is the purpose of God's plan? John chapter 1, verse 1. Interesting three words. We've read those three words before. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Drop down, if you would, to verse number 10. We're never told who that person is. Who is this person, the Word? Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, notice, not of blood, you can't inherit it, nor of the will of the flesh, not by your own works, nor of the will of man, but of God. You say, but who was that person? We're not told who he is. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you get to the book of John, he's already here. In fact, when we're about to read, he's a full-grown man. He's been born of the Virgin in Bethlehem. He was in Egypt. He grew up in Nazareth. He was the carpenter's son. He now is beginning his ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. And people are wondering, is this the one? When you drop down to verse 29 of John 1, the next day, this is after what took place in the previous verses, John, that's John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, notice, there it is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's here. The Lamb. all the Old Testament sacrifices. The Jews have been doing this in people for thousands of years. As a remember, it's all been temporary. If it was permanent, you would only have to do one sacrifice. You had to do it all the time, constantly. It was not sufficient. It was just temporary. It was a lot of work. The lambs and the sacrifices, and because it wasn't sufficient. But coming one day, God says, coming one day is the one who's coming who will be the lamb. He'll be the ultimate sacrifice. He will be the deliverer. And we get to the book of John, he is here. Now we're going to pick up a little bit where we left off last week, and we're going to go fast here. I'm conscious of the time. Look, follow with me. I'm going to go fast, but I want the scriptures to do the reading. If you go to a church or you don't go to church and you're not used to the Bible speaking, I'm sorry. If you're just used to, I'm not used to being in the Bible this much or reading. I got to, you know, and your mind's wandering. Oh, so be it. But may the Word of God speak to us. Let's find out if this one, Jesus, well, maybe people just made him out to be a Messiah. Maybe they made him out to be the Redeemer. Maybe he's not who he said he was. Let's just see what he said. John chapter 3. Look at verses 14 through 18. John 3, if you have a red letter edition Bible, everything we read here is going to be Jesus Christ speaking in the flesh as a man on earth around the age of 30, 31. He's the God-man, born of a virgin. He's sinless. What does he say about himself? Verse 14, John 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's a story in the book of Numbers, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's speaking to the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, that sounds like a deliverer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, delivered, rescued. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Chapter 5. We're going to go to the right. Just flip a page or two each time. Chapter 5. You tell me if this sounds like the words of a Messiah and a Redeemer. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This one is not leaving any middle ground. He's saying this with authority. Chapter 6, verses 35 to 37. Chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Chapter 8. John chapter 8. You're just flipping to your right a few pages at a time. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 10. Don't believe the preacher, believe Jesus. What did he say? John 10:9-11. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That means rescued, delivered. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Chapter 11, 25 and 26, chapter 11, 25 and 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How can you say that? Believest thou this? John 14, John 14. John 14. Well, how do we know there's a heaven? How do we know you just don't die, you just die? Let's let the Bible speak. Let's let Jesus speak. John 14, 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, that's heaven, but by me. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16, 33. John 16, 33. These things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We can amen that. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. Chapter 17, we're almost done. Don't get weary of the Bible. Chapter 17, 1 to 4. Then these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You say, what? How? That's not possible. Not everybody was saved. Not everybody was healed. How could he say he finished the work you gave me to do? We had to know what the work was. The Lamb of God. What's happening? We're getting close to the cross. Chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verses 16 through 19. Chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. Then delivered he him, Jesus, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, Calvary, where they crucified him. Two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Verse 30. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. 3 hours of which was total darkness in the middle of the day. He took the sins of all humanity upon his shoulders. Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. One word in the Hebrew. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What? Well, I thought the Messiah was going to come and it is finished. It's complete. Redemption's plan is done. I paid the price. I fulfilled the penalty. I took the wrath. I'd never sinned. I was sinless. I was the Lamb of God. I willingly gave. I wasn't forced. No one grabbed me like they did the lambs. The lambs had no choice. I willingly offered as a substitute myself for all of humanity. And now it is finished. It's complete. Nothing else can be done. Whoa. Chapter 20. Sunday morning, he resurrects in his own power. Oh, I guess that proves he's got power over death. You don't have to fear death. He's got power over the devil. He's got power over the grave and hell. They can't keep Jesus dead. He can keep, wow. What happens? The end of John 20, verse 29. Jesus says unto him, this is the doubting Thomas who wasn't there when the other, they said, Thomas, he's alive. We saw him. I don't think so. Thomas finally believes, and Jesus says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Verses 20, 30, and 31. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means the Deliverer, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There is no other way. There is no other way. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the long-awaited Messiah, he came. Of course, he didn't stay on earth, though. Shocked everybody again. Surely you'll stay here and set up your kingdom. No. It is expedient that I go up and prepare a place, because I will send down to those that believe the Holy Spirit, God himself in the form of the Spirit, to permanently indwell all believers that have received me. I'll always be with you. And I will come again. I will come again. We're almost done. We have two final passages. Romans, you're in John. Go to your right. Acts, Romans. Romans. Chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. You say, okay, gotcha. That's some neat stuff. I knew that. I never heard that. I heard some of that. Okay, so what? So what? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. So what do I do with all that I've just heard and read? Verse 9 of Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered, rescued from your sin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that shall call upon him. And we come to that great highlight, climax, if you would, of Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. You shall be saved. You must admit that you're a sinner. You must recognize that you cannot cover up your sin like Adam and Eve tried. You've got to get your hands off and say, "There is, I can't do it." You're going to want to try as a sinner. You're going to try everything you can to get to heaven on your own, to prove that you can do it. And it's going to be humbling to admit that you cannot. It's going to be humbling for some of you who have you've been trusting in a system for years to admit that it's not this church, it's the Bible that's true. It's not the IBC way, it's God's way. It's God's way, and that's what repentance is. My way was wrong. I am a sinner. I repent of that, and I turn to Christ. He is the only way, and I see that he is the Lamb of God, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we're going to finish on two different ways. You say, great, I've already done that, preacher. I've already heard all this, and my heart is rejoicing. But is that it? Is salvation the pinnacle, and then we just sort of stay there, or we just go downhill? No, Romans 12. Romans 12. I'm giving you a big snapshot of the entire Bible in one fell swoop. Romans 12. You say, for those that are here watching, you say, I've done that. Praise God, I have done that. I'm redeemed. I'm one of the redeemed. I'm God's child forever. I have eternal life. But maybe you're floundering a little bit. You're still tempted in the world and the flesh. You still just think maybe you're here to play and enjoy life and that's all there is, and you're not fulfilled spiritually. That's because you still don't understand the whole picture. Why you're still here. Why God left you here. Why don't you just go straight to heaven then? God has a plan. He has a commission. He's not intending to keep the message to yourself. We didn't read all the Gospels. Go ye into all the world and preach and proclaim the gospel. Go and let every single person know, every tribe, every culture, every race, every person, boy, woman, child, rich, poor, that they can be saved, that they can be delivered. Share the good news that Christ died for all. That's our commission as believers and as a church, to grow in Christ. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, this is speaking to brethren, those who are saved, by the mercies of God, all you were saved by God's mercy, not because we deserved it. Well, what the question everybody believer should ask is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here it is, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, all sacrifices were dead. They were killed and then put on the altar. He says, present your bodies while you're living, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's reasonable. What other reason is there? That would be reasonable. He died for you. He saved you. You should say, here you go, Lord. You got all of me. You have me, my family, my children, my life, my money, my income. It's all yours. That would be reasonable after all that He did for us. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy things of life, but God, you have a bigger plan than that. You're coming again. It could be today. My life could end today. What have I done for Christ? How many people am I bringing to heaven with me? What am I really here for? What is my purpose? Why has God given me my gifts? What is the purpose of my money? My money, my everything. Is there not a plan for that? How does God want me to use it and invest it? That is the big picture of Scripture, God's plan of redemption. The message is clear today. If you're not saved, call upon Him. Receive Him today. Do not put it off for another hour. You know not the hour. If you're saved, it is God. I present to you myself as a living sacrifice. What would you have me to do? We have one final scene, though, as we wrap up God's plan. Then go to the very last book of the Bible. Go to the final book at the very end, Revelation. Revelation. We said there's a crimson thread, the scarlet cord that connects all the books. The key character is the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb which I believe was killed in the Garden of Eden. The Lamb that had to be brought as the sacrifice. The Lamb that was brought at Passover. The Lamb that died on the cross at Calvary. The Lamb. Guess who the key figure in Revelation is? The Lamb. Capital L. Revelation chapter number 5. You say, but okay, well, if we're saved and we get to heaven, what are we going to do? Well, I have one final message yet on life, death, and eternity. That's on heaven. I haven't preached that one yet. That may be next Sunday as we wrap it up. But we have a small glimpse of heaven right here in Revelation chapter 5. Verse 11. Revelation 5:11, last book of the Bible. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Whoa, you thought our singing the chorus, it was well a cappella sounded good. There's about 100 people in here. Whoa, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Revelation 19, as we bring it to a conclusion. You say, I know he's almost done. There's only a couple chapters left. You can't turn past 22. You're getting into Bible study and Bible dictionary. All right? We're almost done. I'm running out of pages. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. The reason many of the Jews, both then and today, and many believers and many unbelievers, is because they were looking for the Messiah to come as conquering king, riding a white horse, a fierce lion, and getting rid of the hated Romans. And they therefore read the scriptures selectively, like many do. You see the parts you want, and you skim over the parts you don't want. And they had an image of the Messiah coming, and they missed the Old Testament prophecies. He's coming as a lamb. He's coming as a suffering servant. He's coming to be despised and rejected and mocked to bear the sins of all. He's coming the second time as the lion. And we see that picture. This has not yet happened. Revelation 19, verse 11. But I will say this, it will happen soon. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were with him in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the second coming of the Lamb. He's coming as the Lion. He's coming in His full glory as Creator and King of Kings to punish sin, to put Satan in his place, to set up His kingdom, and to rule for 1,000 years. Of course, it's still not over. We come to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. You say, but I know, Pastor Moore, but what about heaven? What about heaven? Let's get to heaven. Verse 24, Revelation 21, 24. Well, who's going to be in heaven? Everybody. No. Revelation 21, 24. And the nations of them which are saved, you've been delivered and rescued, shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Who's going to be in heaven? Verse 27. And there shall in no wise, no way enter into it heaven anything that defileth. That's sin. Neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but notice this. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life. It's those who have received Christ as Savior by trusting in the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. The Lamb. You're put in there the book of life, and no one else will enter into heaven. We're at our final chapter, the last chapter of the Bible. The last message, verse 17. Just in case you're still doubting and haven't trusted Christ, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a gift. It's free. It's available to everybody. You can have it. But it's your choice. And what's the final message of the Bible? Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's talking about his next coming. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thus ends the Scriptures. Surely I come quickly. Our message today is He is coming again. It could be this very hour. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't say anything in there about your church, your system, your religion, anything you did. It doesn't say anything about how much you've given to your church, your tithe, your prayers. It says the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? You can only get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life one way. By calling upon the Lamb for forgiveness of sins and believing what God has said. There is no other way for heaven. There's no other way to have forgiveness. There's no other way to be redeemed, to have remission of sins, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have done that, I pray it's you. Praise God. You're here for a purpose. You're not here to flounder. God has a plan for you. If all you did in your dying days, you were a pauper, and you were left with nothing, and you shared Christ every day, you're rich. You can't take anything with you anyways. If He came today, would you or any of your family be left behind? All the things you have your money invested in, and God's not against having nice things, it'll all be left behind. It's all going to be burned by fire. Are you using it for His kingdom? Are you investing it in eternal things, treasures of heaven? Are you pouring yourself in the people who live forever somewhere forever? Will you let their bad cussing words because you shared Christ make you quit? Because they were mean? Will that stop you from the message? Do you believe the message? Do you believe that Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and proclaim it? Do you believe it? Is your money where your mouth is? Are you investing in eternal things? Do you understand why you're here in your family? Do you understand how short life is, whether it's school and at colleges, at home? Do you understand God's plan for redemption and to present your body as a living sacrifice and say, oh God, what would you have me to do? I want to do something for you. You can come today. Lord, I'm going to stand before you at the judgment seat if I'm saved. I'm going to give account of my labor and works. I don't want to stand there empty-handed. Oh God, I want to do something for you that counts. Would you be willing today to surrender perhaps? You're saved, but you've never surrendered. And said, oh God, all my dreams, ambitions are all yours. I give them to you. It's reasonable service. If you trust Him for salvation, you can't trust Him with your life. You think He'll fail you if you give it all to Him? He never fails anyone. He's faithful and just. Will you come to Him? God's plan of redemption through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We covered a lot of ground. We did a lot of reading the Bible. But I hope you leave here today with the Bible sticking in your heart and mind and not my words. I don't think I gave any illustrations. I didn't really use any humorous stories. I just tried to read the Bible. May the Word of God speak to you today. Now, you don't have to believe that. You won't anger God. You say, I don't believe any of that. I think the Bible's a joke. That guy's crazy to think that that's not true. That's between you and the Lord. The Lord is patient. He's long-suffering. God's Word will do the work. But if you're here today and you've never received Christ as Savior, you've never trusted in the Lamb, do you know you can do that right now in this service? There's no pressure. We're not going to embarrass you, but a believer who trusts in the Lamb won't be embarrassed. You believe in Christ, you will not be ashamed. If you're here today and you've never trusted in the Lamb for salvation, you've been trusting in a system, works, man's works, today you need to repent of that and admit to God silently in your pew. You can do it quietly in your heart. Oh, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I realize that I cannot get to heaven on my own. I have been trusting in my own works, my own actions, my own deeds. And I know that that is wrong. Please forgive me of my sins. I know there is no other way. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God, the Lamb. I believe that He came and died for me. I believe that He rose again. I believe that He is Redeemer. And I'm putting all of my faith and trust in Him right now, today, Sunday, November 27th at 12 o'clock noon. Please save me and make me a brand new creature. I love you, Lord. Thank you. If you're here today, and you prayed that and you meant that with all your heart between you and God, would you raise your hand so I can see that? Preacher, I prayed right now today to trust Christ. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. Anyone like that at all? Anyone like that at all? I just asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Second question as we finish up today. If you're here today and you say, I've done that, preacher. Oh, praise God, I can think back. I was 7. I was 12. I was at camp. I was at Bible school. I was at church. I was in the car. I was at home. It was at work. It was by myself. It was with a preacher, my mom or dad. I remember when I trusted Christ. I remember when I was saved and born again. And I know that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but perhaps you're floundering. Perhaps you just don't have the fulfillment that God can give. Oh, God's not against you having fun and enjoying life based on His Word, but He has something even better than that. And that's living for Him and serving Him and sharing the gospel and knowing why He put you here and using your gifts and talents and monies for Him, realizing that He could come again at any moment. If God's worked in your heart today as a Christian, as a believer, would you be willing to get that right with the Lord right now in your pew? No one's going to embarrass you. No one's looking. Would you just speak to the Lord? I think today we'll not have any music. I appreciate the pianist and Shane coming up here, but we're just going to have silence for about a minute. I'm going to let the Word of God do its work. The Holy Spirit, apply it to your heart. Do you need to confess sin? Confess it to God right now. Do you need to get right with a brother or sister in Christ? Get right after the service. Do you need to reevaluate your money and how you've been spending it? Start this afternoon. Do you need to open your mouth and begin sharing the gospel? You do. What is it God would have you do? Do you need to surrender everything? You've never surrendered. You've been holding on to it. Surrender to Him. Trust Him. Get back to the Word of God. so you can have that peace and joy that only He can give. Father, I thank You for those that are here today. Lord, I thank You for them listening to the Word of God speaking. Take Your Word, Lord, apply it to each heart and each mind. Holy Spirit, open the Word even today as they're driving home at lunch this afternoon. Take the Word of God, use it for Your honor and glory. Lord, may be aware, as You shared in the parable, that, Lord, the devil, like a bird, wants to come and remove the seed very quickly before it takes root in the heart. Lord, may we guard our hearts. May we be in the Word of God and saturate it with Your truth. Lord, may we be excited to serve You. May we be excited about Your soon return. May we always be grateful and thankful for the great sacrifice You became for us. And may we believe every word of the Bible until You come again. We thank You and we praise You for Your salvation that is free and available to whosoever will call upon Your name. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.